Let's go in-depth on Iowa State with the Des Moines Register.
It's time
for Cyclone Insider on 1460 KXNO.
Yes, indeedy. It is 6 p.m. We appreciate you for joining us for a live edition of Cyclone Insider, one in which we will take calls. Be sure to call us if you have thoughts on the college football situation, what you'd like to see the Big 12 or the Cyclones do. 515-284-5966, 284-5966. I am so happy to see these guys in person. We're socially distant, though. Don't worry, everybody. We're not trying to ruin college football like you've accused many of doing. Travis Hines sitting on one side of me, Randy Peterson sitting to another side of me. Fellas, how are you doing?
Hanging in there.
I'm fine. I could complain about a lot of things, but what good would it do? Just waiting for to see what the Big 12 and the ACC and the SEC are going to do with the next in the next few hours.
That's a Yeah, you could complain. Complaining is something that a lot of people do.
Why?
I did it.
That doesn't work.
I did it a little bit earlier on in the show. I complained about some things, specifically the fact that we have an ACC medical expert saying that we could do this safely, and apparently the Big Ten and Pac-12 decide that wasn't something they wanted to do.
That's what I'm curious about. I get the error. I guess I really don't get it. I mean, and it goes back to, we need central leadership. I know that's been a strong refrain over the last 3 months or whatever. But how does one guy at Duke, a doctor at Duke, a very well-respected doctor. At a well-respected institution, see it one way, and then somebody else looks at it a different way?
Who are the governors and what side are they going to be voting for in November? That seems to be kind of the consensus, at least from Chris Williams and myself's standpoint on that.
And I don't know anything about politics, so I'll check out.
I wish we didn't have to worry about that when we talked about this conversation. But Travis, a week ago, we were talking about these schedules getting released and the adjustments that were going to get made for each of these conferences. And here we are on a Tuesday, and the Big Ten and Pac-12 say, nah, we're just going to try to play in the spring.
Well, I mean, to go to how two doctors could see things differently, I mean, that's why you always go get a second opinion, right?
That's true.
Like, to me, that's incredibly plausible that two doctors could look at the same set of information and draw two different conclusions because maybe they're seeing things differently. And secondly, I think the other thing to take into consideration is that the leagues probably have different risk tolerances. I don't know if that comes down to political or that just comes down to the culture of the leagues and the school presidents and chancellors, that the Pac-12 could simply look at the same set of data and say, that's too risky for us. And if you look at the SEC or ACC looks at it and says, we're willing to take that risk. I think that's the more plausible conclusion I would draw of where we are right now and who's right and who's wrong. Who knows? And maybe they're both right. Like, maybe the Pac-12 just is more risk averse than the ACC or SEC, and there's nothing nefarious about it. They're just saying, we don't know a lot about this virus. We don't specifically know about the long-term implications when it comes to the heart condition that I think really has school presidents, athletic directors, and really everybody in the industry spooked about how severe that can be, even for these otherwise young and healthy athletes. And certainly don't take out the liability portion. My guess would be schools are very, very wary of it, putting themselves in a position where they are potentially liable for lawsuits about long-term heart conditions.
So, why are we just recently hearing about the heart thing?
We didn't hear about myocarditis until like 2 days ago.
Sure we did.
Well, I mean,
back in May, I believe they started talking about it. And guys, like, this virus is...
That's when it became an issue, though.
You guys, the virus is 5 months old. They keep finding new stuff about it. Like, this is not going to be like they knew everything about this virus in February.
But myocarditis, they have known it is, like, it flares through viral infections. We've known that, and it is a rare thing, and I get that it's a serious thing, but it sounds like something that we're using to push this conversation along. So before we go too far down that rabbit hole, why are the Pac-12 and the Big Ten in cahoots here, Travis? It seems like they basically teamed up and said, there's no central leadership here, but I'll do whatever you do.
I mean, I don't know that they're in cahoots. I guess, like, to me, when I look at it, I think culturally, from an academic standpoint, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten are in decent alignment in terms of, you know, hire. I mean, you go back to like when the Big Ten added Nebraska. Like one of the big holdups there was, you know, was Nebraska an elite academic institution? They were part of the AAU, and then like 6 months later, they fell out. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 both hold themselves in high esteem academically, and I think that you get an alignment within presidents and chancellors when that's your thinking. So it doesn't necessarily surprise me that they're lined up on this issue and see things similarly, where I think you can look at the ACC and SEC, where, you know, they have some geographic overlap. I think there's cultural overlap, that it doesn't surprise me that they're also in alignment. And then you got the Big 12, which is right now seemingly stuck in the middle. And I think the Big 12 has some cultural relevancy to the SEC. I think it's got some cultural relevancy to the Big 10. And I think that's why maybe we're seeing them, you know, kind of being hovered in the middle here among the Power Five.
If you had to guess, Randy Peterson, where the Big 12 will end up, and we'll discuss this further detail as we move forward throughout this hour, but from your seat right now, being on the fence is, I guess, a fair spot to be in. If you had to guess where the Big 12 would eventually fall, you think they would lean toward the cautious route and not play in the fall and just postpone the fall sports to the spring? Or do you think that they would be a little bit more aggressive in trying to get some season on the field this fall with those Southern conferences?
I think they're going to do everything they can to play this fall, as long as they can play somewhat safely. I verbalized with Bowlesby Sunday night for a while, and I asked him about what Trevor Lawrence and some of the other players came out and what kind of effect that would have on the Big 12.
Lawrence was very aggressive on social media about it.
And so were the parents of the Ohio State players and the Iowa players too. You know, I asked Bob about what impact will that have when your board meets on Tuesday, meaning today. And he said, I don't know what impact it will have on my board, but it impacts me in that Trevor Lawrence and I agree on the same thing. Those people and I agree on the same thing. They want to play football, and I want to play football. And that's when he went into the fact that to say that the Big 12, the doctors that the Big 12 listens to and the scientists that the Big 12 listens to have given them no verbiage about do not play college football. So the Big 12 wants to play. I really get that feeling. I don't know whether it's unanimous wants to play, but it would not surprise me if it is. So I think what they're going to do today, and granted this could be out of date by the time we get done with the next commercial break, but
as is everything else in this world right now,
I'm guessing they push their decision down the road a little bit more. I mean, why it's really a big toot right now anyway. Let it play out. Let it see what's going on. They're not going to start the season anyway until the middle of September or end of September.
Right. We're already basically a month pushed back.
Or even just start the first week of October. I don't know. But I don't think they'll do anything today.
Okay. So if you're just joining this conversation from an outside of the Big Ten and outside of the Pac-12 perspective, there are no hard line answers on these three remaining Power Five conferences yet. Travis, do you think you can give us a timeline? Because there was some thought that we could hear from them today. I read a statement from the SEC commissioner. I don't know if you guys saw that, but he certainly was flabbergasted as to, I'll just read it again for those who missed me reading it. This is Greg Sankey. He's the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference of the SEC. He said, quote, I look forward to learning more about the factors that led to the Big Ten and Pac-12 leadership to take these actions today. I remain comfortable with the thorough and deliberate approach that the SEC and our 14 members are taking to support a healthy environment for our student athletes. We will continue to further refine our policies and protocols for a safe return to sports as we monitor developments around COVID-19 in a continued effort to support, educate, and care for our student athletes every day, end quote. That's SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Travis, it sounds like that says we have every intent to play and will need to be very, like, proven something very strongly in the interim to not play. You hear ACC medical experts coming out, and Dr. Cameron Wolf, a Duke infectious disease specialist, coming out and saying that we can do this. It'll be expensive and it will be tough, but we can do it in a safe manner. Sounds like those two conferences have kind of drawn their lines, but do you expect some timeline to an official announcement, and would that be kind of the catalyst to where we see the Big 12?
I don't know that there is such a thing as an official announcement that they're going to continue, at least in the SEC-ACC realm, because they've already said they're going to play. I mean, I think in that statement that you just read, the SEC is saying we're going forward as planned, and also it's a pot shot at the Big 10 and the Pac-12, and I think what we're seeing now, too, is a lot of, I don't know if politics or egos is the right way to phrase it, but when you look at who is in charge of the Big Ten and the Pac-12, I think there is some resentment for the way that those have been handled. You know, Kevin Warren has made no friends in his short tenure in the Big Ten from, you know, basically, you know, pulling the rug out from the rest of the Power Five and the decision to go conference only back in early June. And now we're here. You know, Larry Scott, I don't think, is the most respected of the Power Five commissioners. I mean, you look at the Pac-12 has been a lap behind everybody now for almost, you know, a decade now, it seems like, at this point. So I think there is a little bit of jockeying of egos and positioning among the Power Five conference commissioners there. But I think the ACC and the SEC are going to continue until they have to stop. I don't think you're going to hear them say, "Here, we're gonna play now," because they've already said that they've released schedules. The only one we're really probably holding out on is the Big 12. And to Randy's point, I don't anticipate getting a "we're not playing" sign tonight. I think if anything, they delay. And there's no reason not to delay at this point, because you've already seen these on-campus bubbles hold up strongly and well, so there's no reason not to continue that and perpetuate that. Maybe that changes once students come on, but if you continue to wait, you know, maybe you get the NFL is going to, you know, take the field with training camp. They're going to start games, and if the NFL can't do it and you've, you know, postponed your season to late September, then you can say, you can look your fans, you can look your donors, you can look everybody in the eye and say, the NFL tried to do this and couldn't. If they can't, it's probably that we can't. And if they can do it, you can point to them and say, look, this can be done. And to the Duke doctor, it's going to be expensive and it's going to be hard, but we can try. And I think it's perfectly reasonable to hold that position, but I don't necessarily think it's unreasonable for the Pac-12 and the Big Ten to say, we don't know enough to continue. The risks are too great. The unknowns are too great. We're going to sit it out. And I think both factions you can make an argument for, but certainly I think waiting to see how things go with the NFL. And that's, again, assuming your bubble holds well in once students hit back on campus. I don't think there's really a downside to waiting other than you just continue to live with uncertainty, which has really dominated everyone's life for 6 months.
I listened to the parts of Kevin Warren's press conference this afternoon, and Teddy Greenstein from the Tribune was among the reporters. I don't want to say hammering him, but pushing the notion, the question of, a week ago, whenever it was, you released, the Big Ten released its schedule. All 14 teams in the Big Ten released the schedule. What changed? And I didn't hear a definitive answer. I did not hear a good answer. I don't, you know, and I, so that got me shaking my head about why are they doing this? Why now? They could wait. And another part of this thing today that kind of got me scratching my head was the Pac-12 going rogue and saying that they're not doing any sports in the calendar year, whatever we're in, 2020.
What year we're in? What? Who could forget that this is 2020? Yeah.
Which, I mean, in other words, see you later, basketball, non-conference basketball, which is fine. So January 1st, start with your conference games and move up the Final Four. And
I think there's a lot of momentum to either move college basketball to January or play non-conference only or both. I think there's a lot of momentum there. The Pac-12 got there first, but I would not be surprised if we don't see that across the board.
I just couldn't imagine. It seems like every next step that we take, we realize it just makes more sense just to keep going. If you're going that direction, you might as well just go that direction. Let us all know. Be transparent about it. So I'm all right with the way that they just kind of looped everything in there for their from their standpoint. So, okay, Travis, what's the true viability of spring football? at a collegiate level? Does it make any sense whatsoever? We were talking to Chad Lystico. We'll hear more from Chad tomorrow on Hawk Central. But he said maybe a six-game schedule would be something you could think about if you're hoping at all to have a semi-regular season in 2021's fall. Or does it, like, to me, it just doesn't make any sense to do it. I know there's money on the table, and the ACC and the SEC and potentially the Big 12 seem all right with doing whatever it takes to play, money aside, whatever financials that's there. But you're not going to fully recoup what you're going to lose by playing in the spring, first of all. And second of all, you're really going to put a huge, huge asterisk on the preparation and the safety of the players having even a half regular season in the spring, and then 6 months later be back and you're playing an actual regular season in the fall of 2021.
Yeah, I mean, is it viable? Sure. I mean, like anything is. You put enough manpower, brain power, and money behind it, and you can get it done. What it looks like, I don't know. I think the concerns are valid, especially compressing basically a season and a half into 12 months. I think you'd see a lot of players opt out. I think you'd see anybody that thought that they had a shot at being a first to third round draft pick certainly would not play. But I don't think that the NCAA, or I should say the FBS and the Power Five, will particularly care about that as long as they can get games on television and fans in their stands. I think it's doable, but I think what will behoove the conferences that attempt it will be to pick a plan, pick a structure of a season early, and throw all your weight and all your resources behind making that possible. I think, especially if you're talking about a six-game season, you can really plan that down to a T. You can have it be bussable. You can have open dates where if teams can't play or have to opt out, that you can swap opponents around. Depending on, again, where we see from the Big 12 and the other conferences, you could go for what I had been mentioning, where you get essentially, if you're playing a six or eight game schedule and only half the teams are playing in the spring, you're not going to have a college football playoff or anything like that. So you just blow up the conferences and just play regional opponents that you can bust to within a day and get back home and just get it treated essentially as an exhibition season that it's not going to be everything, but it's going to be something. And when you're looking at the tens of millions of dollars on the table, you take what you can get at this point.
I wonder what the networks would say about that. I'm guessing they would like it
better than nothing, right?
Exactly, absolutely.
But even with
the NFL too,
yeah,
going to Saturdays in that, taking up some of those Saturdays
in the fall.
You're right.
But
yeah.
if we're playing basketball by then too, though, I mean,
yeah,
we're talking about college football's beginning, basically likely going to be in line with the tournaments. Is that something that the NCAA even wants to have to work itself around?
I don't know.
Like play college football on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then have the tournament as scheduled usually on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
I think that would be cool, to be honest. It would be interesting.
I mean, it would be interesting, but I mean, like, that's the only way you do it. You don't want to be competing with your cash cow.
Well, I don't think there's any way in the world.
That already happens. Well, I guess not for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
But I think you have to throw out conventional wisdom here on this. You got to get football games, like the perspective from athletic directors and these schools is we got to get football games on TV to make money. And I think you figure it out from there. As long as you can do it safely. And I think there's probably a lot of momentum that we're going to have more, arrows in the quiver to battle the virus once we get into 2021.
I'm not throwing my hat in the ring for spring football. However, I don't know whether college students will even be on campus in the spring. Because all I've seen so far is just protocol for the first semester, and they're sending the kids home. They're ending semesters at Thanksgiving and then starting them. I guess I have seen protocol, but starting them up in the second week of January or whatever. But let's say that the crud is such on campuses that the students just second semester, you stay home and do online or stay in your apartments and do online. My gosh, you're talking about a bubble.
Yeah.
Then your athletes are in a bubble.
Big time bubble.
Big time. Yeah, exactly. So it might be safer to play in the spring I don't know. But basketball certainly would be safer.
Yeah, and I mean, this is all... Now we're talking institution to institution to institution and the way that they handle those things, and with no legitimate central leadership, like, from institution to institution outside of just the conference affiliation that we've been talking about, there's really no way to know the differences and how closely they're watching these kids, and will there be little parties that happen that kids go to and then somebody gets it and tests positive, and then the contact tracing and all that jazz. Those are questions that we're going to have to figure out. We have plenty more to talk about on this topic and more. It is Cyclone Insider, and I just want to let you know, if you're a sports fan, you're listening to a sports radio station, you're enjoying the conversation here, I want to let you know that pretty big NHL game's happening right now. The Columbus Blue Jackets and the Tampa Bay Lightning are tied at two going to a third overtime. It's the first three overtime game in the NHL since 2016. Longest game in the history of the Blue Jackets. Just wanted to let you know something I find fascinating here. That's good. It's not bad news. It's games that are actually happening. We're going to come back. Travis Hines, Brandy Peterson, Amory Songer, all live right here on Cyclone Insider on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
Everything you need to know about Iowa State, it's Cyclone Insider with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
And now 106.3 FM. It is getting close to the bottom of the hour. We're talking Cyclones, but just college football in general today, because it's a sad day. It's a dark day if you're a college football fan, because all of the 14 schools that you got to know and love, or I guess 13 and Rutgers and the Big Ten, and then the Pac-12, whatever they had going on, we're not going to see them either.
And now we get Nebraska in the Big 12. Yay! Fred comes back to Hilton.
So they... They seem real.
That'll get them stirred up.
Yeah, they seem real interested in playing regardless, but we know they can't.
What a dumb statement.
They can't possibly
leave the Big Ten. I don't know what Scott Frost is thinking about. I mean, really, there's grant of rights agreements, there's contracts, there's a huge portion of Big Ten TV money.
Wouldn't it be withdrawal from the conference fees. Wouldn't it be great, though? To see like a team annex themselves, like they declare war on the Big Ten by just going to a rival, wouldn't that be hilarious?
I think it'd be wonderful. I'd love to see Fred come back and coach on the other opposite bench.
Why?
Why not? It'd be cool. See how
the
fans.
Why are you trying to bring that into this right now?
See, we have enough. We got to react. Although there probably won't be any fans.
We have so much else to worry about, Randy. Don't put that in
people's
mind.
Why? Somebody's got to be lighthearted about this.
That is not a lighthearted thing to think about. Travis, what is the...
You guys be serious, and I'll be the lighthearted one then.
This is my viability question. If Nebraska decides that, yeah, we really want to play college football, other conferences would be like, oh, yeah, sure, just come on over, right?
So here's my theory, and it's just a theory that I have developed over the last 24 hours. All of that by Scott Frost, by Ryan Day, by James Franklin, everything in Nebraska particularly from... Senator Sasse's statement on down felt entirely theatrical to me. It felt like we're going to show our fans, we're going to show our donors, we're going to show our recruits and our players that we're doing everything we can to play this year. Even if we end up being fruitless, we tried our damnedest to get this thing done. That's what it felt like to me by a bunch of people that knew what direction this was going and ultimately where we were going to get. I don't know that. That's just my speculation. That's what it felt like to me, because for the reasons Randy laid out and, you know, other people have, it is absolutely implausible to expect Nebraska to play, certainly in another conference, and I would think implausible for them to play in any type of independent scenario, because they don't own their media rights. The Big Ten owns their media rights. They granted those rights away when they joined the Big Ten. And also, if you're the Big Ten and like you have to give permission, you think Ohio State, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa are going to be like, hey, we're all going to sit this out, but hey, Nebraska, you go out there and make a couple extra millions of dollars, get your marketing, get a leg up in recruiting. That's cool. We're just going to sit it out on the sidelines. That's preposterous. Like, to me, like, the only realistic way that Nebraska plays this year is if they say, to hell with it, you guys can sue us, and we're just going to go do it anyway. But then I still don't know who they go play. I don't, like, the Big 12 ain't going to let that happen. It seems incredibly farcical to me to believe that Nebraska is doing anything other than posturing. And I mean, you look like their politics got involved. They have huge donors there that they have to appease. I think this was what it felt like to me was very much a theatrical attempt at showing some moxie.
Yeah, and Randy, they didn't really have anything to lose by doing it this way, right?
Who, Nebraska?
Yeah. No, I mean...
I don't know. Credibility?
They look silly.
They look
absolutely silly.
They look dumb.
Not to mention they're pissing off the 13 other members of the Big Ten and the new
commissioner. But what are they going to do? What's Nebraska done?
Wait a minute. What's Nebraska done in football since they've joined the Big 12?
Is that even important? I mean,
To come out there and it's not like
they get a bunch
Kirk
of money.
Ferentz said that. Who would have cred? Does Scott Frost have Nebraska cred right now?
Nebraska is going to the Big 10 is what set off this whole unholy alliance of conference realignment.
Yes, exactly. It was the number one first thing that did it.
And to Randy's point, what has the Big 10 gotten out of it? Very little. And now, a decade later, you've got them bucking perhaps the most momentous decision the league has made, certainly since realignment and maybe ever.
Yeah.
And you've got Nebraska basically spitting in their eye.
Okay, so... But what if they do have a good plan? Like, what if their plan to play was fine and Iowa's plan to play... I know Iowa's already been like, yeah, we're not even going to worry about playing in the fall. We're sorry. We're sad. But they were pretty... it was open that in common knowledge that they were also dissenting this decision. They did not like this decision. They thought it made a lot more sense to try to play in the fall for them. But I'm just thinking out loud here that... At least people are talking in some way about Nebraska, and it is getting national attention that Nebraska is still... I mean, it's the number one headline on ESPN.com right now. It's not that, oh, yeah, the Pac-12, they're done, and the Big Ten, they're done. Yeah, those were the top headline at certain points, but the top headline right now when you're on ESPN.com is Nebraska still hoping for a chance to play this fall. People are going to see that. Isn't that good for that brand? I know they haven't won a lot lately, but gee whiz.
Like Travis said... It's a mockery. People are making fun of them. I watched the morning shows this morning, the Get Up and all that stuff, and even into this afternoon. There is nobody that is taking this thing serious. Nobody that says, "Oh wow, what a great idea." Everybody that I've seen and read is seeing through this whole thing. Maybe the fans aren't. Fans, you know, sometimes see what they want to see. And believe what they want to believe. But if anybody is took this whole thing serious, I'm sorry for you. It's tremendous posture.
I mean, like, even like, who are they going to play? The Big 12 has said you get 9-1. They're going to go play 9 Big 12 teams all as their non-conference
games? They're going to be the one.
Well, all the games have to be done before Big 12.
Oh, yeah, they got to be done before. Before the Big 12.
They're not going to be able to, quote unquote, join the Big 12. So it's just, it's.
Are they going to join the SEC? Yeah. We're going to see what, Alabama and Nebraska? Bring it on.
That'd be a hell of a thing in 1972.
Oh, there's the joke we were waiting for with Nebraska. Okay, so sorry.
Boom.
Sorry I brought it up. I'm sad that I'm sad that Nebraska people aren't going to get this moment to shine in the sun. People just think they're stupid like usual. And I didn't say, okay, yeah, I said that with intent. Okay, so I guess now the main thing that if you're an Iowa State fan is just kind of see what the conference that you're in, which is the Big 12, what they are doing. And we've talked, we're not sure. They're the conference that we know the least about, at least now. So, Travis, if we're thinking about Big 12 conference football with the 9+1 that you mentioned, pretty much everybody's plus one is not playing, except a very select few. How are we going to find these plus ones, or do you think that we just pare it down to a conference-only season and just spread it out a little bit?
I think you could still find plus ones. I mean, I think... It'll depend on money, obviously, number one. And then, like, does the Big 12 want to go play? I mean, they can't play the ACC, right? Because you got to play in the home state of a team that also resides in your state at the home. So, I mean, maybe you can go get a group of five that hasn't canceled that. To me, the most likely is there's going to be enough FCS programs out there that are going to be willing to try it to get the payday. And maybe it's not a full payday, but... I think there'll be enough out there to go try it.
That's going to be interesting. You said FCS, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
So how would that work?
You just go, because Iowa State's got $800,000+ to burn now.
Yeah, but I mean,
they're not playing those games.
South Dakota has not said they won't play it.
Exactly. Like, that game I've not seen anything about South Dakota yet. Yeah, they could still play. They'd have to start testing. But So I think Jamie said in your story that they would that they would test, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, South Dakota still could be could be out there.
The only ones we know for sure aren't are UNLV and Boise.
I mean, I keep seeing
Arkansas State. Excuse me.
I keep seeing Arkansas State, but I don't.
That, I mean, I just I guess I never thought like there are still like the Sun Belt basically said we're playing, right? Like those schools would need
Troy. I was thinking of Troy Dannon, whatever that thing's called. American Athletic Conference is playing,
and except I keep for asking, UConn. Except for UConn.
Except for UConn, and I asked Troy Dannon again this morning, and Iowan, who's the athletic director at Tulane. Wouldn't it be great to see Tulane, Iowa State, home and home? They're not scheduling this year. I mean, it can't happen. It whether they've discussed it or not, I don't know. But
Tulane and Iowa State, huh? That'd be your choice.
It's out there. I mean, it's a nice appeal, nice road trip for the fans, for Iowa State fans down there. Get a home and home. Throw in a basketball game with it.
Go to NOLA.
Throw a basketball game in with it like they creatively did with the Ball State contract.
Yeah, Bruce in Des Moines has his thoughts he wants to bring to Cyclone Insider. Bruce, we appreciate the call.
Just a piece of information that might be interesting. When Nebraska got in the Big Ten, I think they had 1 year when they were not a member of the Association of American Universities, which is the 61 or 62 top research universities in the nation. Every school in the Big Ten needs to be a member of that. I think they were out for 1 year. They raised tons of money and they built a world-class medical center in Lincoln, and they were right back in. But I think it would be surprised me if the football program, when they decided to make a decision on this, was not hand in glove in consultation with this really, really good medical center. That's all I have to add. Nothing more.
All right, Bruce. That's an interesting point. We gave Duke its props for having good academic situation and have a medical expert in which we cited earlier in Dr. Cameron Wolf, who was the guy who said that they could do this safely. They could play a fall football season safely. So, Travis, to that point, they do have a giant medical school, and Iowa is known for its medical institution. Do you think they had much of a say here, or do you think it really was just university presidents? Well,
what did I think I read in Chad Lysakow's story the other day, that like six of the top 40 medical research facility or medical universities are in the Big Ten? So like
including both Michigans.
Yeah. So you would think they'd listen to their people, right?
Based on what we heard today, I think that's their people, their doctors.
Except for Dr. Harbaugh.
I think we got an answer on that they listened to their medical people, which again, one conference's medical people can say something different than another's, and I don't think that's any signs of anything nefarious or untoward.
Okay, but at the same time, though, Nebraska being one of those top medical schools at this point, and they are acting like clowns, apparently.
They're acting like clowns, like they can just jump into the Big 12 for a year, like wanting to play football. I get it,
but you think, okay, so I guess where I'm coming from is that you think that there's a really good chance their medical facility and their football program probably are on the same page, but they're just in the very small minority of other Big 10 institutions when it comes to this.
I have absolutely no idea what the Nebraska doctors told Nebraska. All I know is what the Big 10 said today.
Randy, I guess the way that we move forward on this, I suppose, then, is the Big 12, different institutions in different locations. Regionally speaking, it covers a wide geographical area. Do you think that plays any difference here, the fact that the Big 10 does have a wide spread of teams from Lincoln all the way out to New York? We have, the Big 12 where, you got teams like Iowa State and teams all the way down in Texas. Do you think this has something to do with it, because Texas has been known in some circles as kind of a hot spot, Iowa to some people is a hot spot? Do you think that plays a factor here at all?
I think it's one of the discussion points, and it's one of the data points, as the Big 12 likes, or as Bob Bowlsby likes to say. But I don't think it's a be-all, end-all, because, like you said, Texas is still in there, and Iowa State, I don't, we haven't seen the schedule yet, so obviously I don't know how many games Iowa State's going to play down there, but if any. But so Texas is a hot spot, so it's not like everybody in the Big 12 is COVID free, or not free, but COVID safe. So I don't know. It's a piece of string, but I don't think it's the ultimate ultimate decision. I think the ultimate, according to what Bob said Sunday night, is that the Big 12 medical people that they hire, they probably pay big bucks for these medical advisors, and the scientists that they've hired have not said do not play football. At least as of Sunday night at 8 o'clock when I talked to him.
Yeah, well, we kind of thought that a week ago when it came to these conferences that just canceled sports. So I don't know. It's no matter what you look at here, folks, there's stuff that there's more that we don't know than we know. And we've spent the last 6 months on this show just trying to slowly figure it all out. And to somewhat an entertainment value, sure. But in terms of actually being able to accurately predict what's happening, nobody can. We got to take one more break. When we come back, we are going to finish up our chat here about the situation in college football and how it affects Iowa State. The University of Iowa obviously has been very affected by this. Does this affect recruiting as well? We'll talk about that coming up next. By the way, your hockey update here on Cyclone Insider, 2-2 still. Halfway through the third overtime between Columbus and Tampa Bay. This is one of the longest games in NHL playoff history, and there hasn't been a goal scored in 70 minutes of ice time. That's pretty remarkable numbers happening right now in Toronto. We'll keep you updated on that, I suppose, as well. It's Cyclone Insider Travis Hines, Randy Peterson, Emery Songer, live on 1460 KXNO, now on 106.3 FM.
Everything you need to know about Iowa State, it's Cyclone Insider with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back one final time on Cyclone Insider. Emery Songer, Travis Hines, Randy Peterson. And before we finish up the show, we got Wayne from Cedar Falls calling in. Wayne, you want to talk about this Iowa State scheduling snafu that they have for their plus one?
Yeah, real quick. You guys may have discussed this. I got in late today. But when the Missouri Valley Conference moved to fall, that was only for their conference games. And they allowed each school, if they wanted to schedule some games in the fall. I know that you and I and Western Illinois chose not to, but North Dakota State and South Dakota are still trying to. And I know that as of last weekend, South Dakota was still hoping to play at Iowa State. And a couple reasons, Bob Nielsen, the head coach, is an Iowa native. Abdul Hodge, that played at Iowa, is on staff. Jordan Knock, that was a three-year starter at Grandview, was the last 2 years was a GA. They've recruited Iowa well. They've got 20 guys from Iowa, including six from up here in the Cedar Valley that's on that roster. So in addition, and I don't know for a fact, I heard $450,000 is what the payout was, but there's a lot of interest there. I have not heard of any games that were scheduled, but that's some of the information I heard. Just thought I'd pass that along.
Yeah, Wayne, that's good stuff. We appreciate that. And, you know, it would be just so nice and easy if a team that you already had on the schedule and a contract with, that you'd be able to just kind of step up and have them as that plus one on the schedule. The scheduling is what it is. We got to hear from the Big 12 that they are interested in playing, and that domino could fall as early as tonight. Probably won't, but could be at any time, as our two aficionados here, Randy and Travis, have said. I want to talk a little bit about how Randy, let's pretend that Iowa State does play, Big 12 does play this fall. We know Iowa is not. From an in-state standpoint, now that Iowa State is a very respectable football program in a Power 5 conference with an attractive head coach and staff to play for, is this a real big opportunity for Iowa State to get a leg up on Iowa for in-state recruiting?
I don't know about getting a leg up, but if Iowa State continues to handle the coronavirus as solidly as it looks like Iowa State's handling it, and if Iowa State has success on the football field while playing, now we're assuming they play, while playing a schedule, which I have every right to believe they will, assuming they don't have any outbreaks. I'm watching it.
Oh, we almost
is it over?
No,
oh, it's a fight. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, if Iowa State keeps performing well in the medical deal as far as the coronavirus, and if they perform well on the field, yeah, I think so, because the eyes, they're going to have the eyeballs. The eyes are going to be on Iowa State.
And if you're a fan of football in the state of Iowa, I mean, you have to have some. If you're a diehard Iowa fan, you're not going to cheer for Iowa State this fall just because they're playing football. But there is going to be, you know, those young fans that don't have a strong allegiance, that they just kind of like watching a game that has some geographical interest, Travis. And Iowa State certainly could become their school of choice as a young man, whether they're 5 years old or 15 years old, as a football player in this state, because they got a chance to see Iowa State without a large scope that Iowa State could kind of get stuck in all these big games on a week-to-week basis. Iowa State would be the show here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a negligible difference, but enough that, you know, the opportunity cost of not playing is significant on the recruiting trail. Just, I mean, the impact is going to be muted because with no fans, presumably that means no official or unofficial visits for those games, which are the huge recruiting events. Mm-hmm. But to your point, to be in the spotlight, to get extra eyeballs, you know, I think that matters. And if you have a good season, which I think a lot of people are expecting from Iowa State, that's going to draw more attention. And if your neighbor across the state in Iowa isn't playing, you know, they're ceding the spotlight to some extent. You know, how big of an impact? My guess is not much, but, you know, recruiting is a game that's done in degrees. So it doesn't take a lot to move the needle just enough to make a difference. So can it? Sure. I don't ultimately think it'll be the deciding factor.
Let's turn this around. Let's look at the other side of this. What about the people that would say, okay, since the University of Iowa or the Big Ten is not playing football, does this give them more time to recruit, more time to analyze, more time to, golly, I don't know, maybe they could go visit, I don't know what the recruiting rules are anymore.
Yeah, but does it give them more time to
look at recruits?
Well, but wouldn't they have to change the rules a little bit here to, because teams aren't, or programs aren't on the same calendar anymore?
Well, to Randy's point, like, instead of watching film for your game against Northwestern on Saturday, you're watching the huddle of some random three-star in South Dakota.
Yeah.
And maybe you uncover somebody there.
Right.
My guess is...
There's no rules against that.
No. And I mean, like, so much of it is digitized now. I mean, I know that's the case with basketball. Like, coaches have not been able to get on the road. But all these, you know, from the mid-tier to the upper-tier AAU events have all been streamed online, and coaches are watching those considerably. So I think, again, to Randy's point, I think that's a good one, that you now have time to pursue that rather than game plans or practice plans and things of that nature.
I see, and I might be naive in thinking this, it's just such an amazing opportunity for these programs in... Is it fair to call Randy the Big 12 kind of the redheaded stepchild of Power 5 football? Because whenever there's a team that makes it into the college football playoff, which is usually just Oklahoma, there's not a whole lot that happens in the college football playoff. People just say, oh, yeah, well, they just don't play any defense in the Big 12. They can produce huge numbers and Heisman Trophy winners, but for the most part, they don't do much of anything except score the ball, score the ball, score the ball. Nobody can stop anybody. Everybody says the schedule is easy. This has to be a chance for them to turn those tables, isn't it?
Well, yeah, assuming that they're the redheaded stepchild, like you said, I don't know.
But are they? I guess.
I don't know about that. I think the Big 12 is better than the Pac 12.
Yeah.
Right.
But this is a chance. This would be a chance for the Big 12 to stick its tongue out and say, nah, 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 we're playing and you're not. Oklahoma's going to be good, obviously. Texas is going to be good. People think that Oklahoma State's going to be good, and people think Iowa State's going to be good. There's so many questions going on. We'll see TCU players, how they react to Gary Patterson and what he went through.
Right.
We'll see what the Oklahoma State players react to Gundy, what he's gone through. So there's just all kinds of stuff out there to watch. But, I would think that the Big 12 is the second best conference that could be going this fall.
Yeah, we got to figure that out. By the way, we're going to a fourth overtime in this game. It's hard to believe, but they're going to play 20 more minutes of hockey. So still tied at two. By the way,
Tampa Bay has over 75 shots in the game. They've only scored two goals. Just crazy to think about. So with that all happening, real sports are happening, as I just mentioned. And the Big Ten, Pac-12 pretty quickly came to this decision. Travis, I suppose if you're the Big 12 schools as individuals here, how much are you lobbying one way or another, or are you just going to collectively as a group come to a decision? Because yes, we had some dissent over in the Big Ten with Iowa and Nebraska saying they still wanted to play. We haven't heard about any of that in terms of the Big 12 yet, but if you're an individual school, do you think it makes more sense to try to lobby one way or another, or do you think that this is going to end up being fairly collective from the Big 12 whenever a decision is made?
Well, those are two different questions in terms of public and privately. I think privately, yeah, you got to lobby to get what you want done and what you think is best and what's safe. But I do think publicly, the Big 12 is very sensitive to perceptions of disunity and dysfunction, especially coming out of the 2010 realignment where it really felt like Texas was calling the shots and then everybody else either had to go along to get along or had to go somewhere else. My guess is that we get something close to a unified front. Certainly no flame throwing and Molotov cocktails being thrown through the window like we've seen in the Big Ten with Nebraska and to a lesser extent Ohio State and Penn State. My guess is we hear maybe some of the people that were not happy with the decision one way or the other advocate themselves, but not to that same degree.
Randy, your thoughts on that as a that is a concise answer. You covered basically everything I was thinking about there.
You know, I'm just thinking about what we're going to be talking about next week. Will we still be asking these questions next week at this time?
Well,
is the Big 12 going to play football?
You would think that the dominoes now will fall, right?
Well, you'd think so, but they don't. There's no hurry, like we said.
You're right.
No
they rush. Don't have to say anything.
You said there's no rush.
And if they're planning on playing at all, they really don't have to say anything ever, right? Except okay, well the schedule's going to start.
Here's our schedule.
They got to send out a schedule. We're still waiting on that schedule.
Yeah, we still need that plus one opponent. Guys, this was fun to do this live. Weird day. Hopefully we have something a little more joyful to talk about next week. That's Travis Hines. That's Randy Peterson. My name's Emery Songer. Big thanks to Eric Zamora in the studio. You can check out the Cyclone Insider podcast every week. And I'll follow these guys, Travis Hines, Randy Peterson, on social media, on Twitter. They'll have the podcast for this up and available for you as well. That'll do it. This has been Cyclone Insider. You have a great night. 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM.